Let's talk to Chris Carter now, our buddy from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, also the Locked On Steelers podcast for his weekly matchup segment. Carter, what's up, buddy? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Adam. How are we doing today?
We are great. Big one on Sunday, baby. It's for all the marbles. And we'll start here because you were asking Aaron Rodgers about this, whatever day that was earlier this week, about him really not stringing together back-to-back poor performances. Do you think we get the bounce back from Rodgers on Sunday?
I think we see it. I think we see him play better. I don't know if we'll see him play, you know, at his highest, because this will be the first time he's had to bounce back without DK Metcalf. But, you know, when I asked him that question, I went into it knowing that, like, in his career, he doesn't have too many back-to-back games in his history where he was really bad one Sunday and then really bad the next Sunday. And I pointed it out because there were four times now when he's had his passer rating under 70 with the Steelers, and each time he's bounced back with it jumping either into the 90s or into the 100s the next week. And it happened with the Seahawks game. The next game they beat the Patriots, he has a 96.1 passer rating. It happened with the Chargers game, he bounces back with 106.5 against the Bengals. It happened against the Bills with a 65 rating. Then that next week was the first time they played the Ravens. He beat them with 103.1 rating. And now you have the Browns game with a 64.9 rating. So now you have a chance to bounce back and at home against the defense that he's faced before, and against a defense that I don't think is playing too well this year. But the thing is now he's missing the guy that he shredded the defense with right. The last time they went. DK Metcalf had 148 yards. I mean, that first play of the game last time they faced was a 52-yard bomb to Metcalf, and that shocked the Ravens. They were like, oh, wait, they can do that this year? Crap, that's a problem. And so that's going to be the challenge, is can he still scare the Ravens at different parts of the field to open up the inside, the middle of the field passing, open up the run game, open up the quick passes short. If he can hit that once or twice in this game, I think it shocks the Ravens again, and it puts them on skates.
What do you think in that 60 minutes of crap we saw against the Browns, they actually did well offensively that could be transferable into this game? And how would you deploy your personnel at the wide receiver position with the addition, we're hopeful, of Calvin Austin?
I think Calvin plays. I think he'll be active. I would make active Roman Wilson this week. I know he's been in the doghouse, and I would actually try to use him, if not for anything else, to stretch the field horizontally and vertically. I'm running a lot of slants. I'm running a lot of crossers. I'm running a lot of go routes. I'm saying, hey, you have that 4.3 speed. We're gonna make it so that if they don't cover you, it's a quick it's just a flick of the wrist for Aaron Rodgers, and then it's a lot of yak for you. And so that's the position I put him in. But then I put my technical route running on Pat Freiermuth, on Adam Thielen, on those guys that I trust, even Scotty Miller, because I do think Scotty Miller's been really good in the pinches that he's been asked to play in. But try to put those guys in the spots where you think you're going to find weaknesses in the Ravens defense. I think there were things that they did well against the Browns that just didn't get to blow up enough, like when they were able to run the ball when they did. You know, Jaylen Warren averaged over 5 yards per carry. Remember, they couldn't run the ball for much against the Ravens the last time. If they were able to run the ball and get things going, if they can get over 100 yards rushing and they can make it so that the Ravens don't outrush them by almost 200 yards like they did last time, that can make up for not having DK Metcalf. So do those things. Get the ball to your playmakers in places where they have the advantage. I think Pat Freiermuth could be a real matchup problem with the Ravens this week. That he has to actually, you know, get targeted, which has been a problem all season long. But if they can get that going, the run game going, and the defense does what it's supposed to against the run against the Ravens run, that can put this game in the Steelers' favor.
Chris Carter, the Post-Gazette, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You could also hear Chris on the Locked On Steelers podcast. If I told you right now that Derrick Henry would have 25 carries for 94 yards, that's what he had the first matchup, do you take that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because that means he didn't get 100. And in the seven times that they have played Derrick Henry, whether it's the Titans or the Ravens, they are 5-0 when he's kept under 100. They're 0-2 when he gets over 100.
Chris, so, I mean, how about that right there, baby? A little soft toss, and you just cranked it right out of the park.
Damn, that's what we do here, baby.
A little alley-oop action.
Yes, sir.
What do they do? Which one? I guess I'd be Dwayne?
Yes. Yeah, you would be.
Yeah, good. Okay, very good. What do you think the Steelers do schematically to slow down Henry in this game? And how does the inclusion now of Lamar Jackson maybe change what they otherwise would have done if it were Snoop, if at all?
I don't think it changes that much. I think the emphasis for this defense has to be you will not run the ball with Henry. You will not succeed with the option run. If you're going to beat us, it is going to be Lamar Jackson, or would have been Snoop Hudley, completing passes to Zay Flowers against Joey Porter Jr., to Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely against Patrick Queen, Jalen Ramsey, Kyle Duggar, and a mix of defenders that we're going to make it harder for you to do. And we're going to be sending T.J. Watt, who I think will play for this game. I will see if he gets the official nod at the end of practice today. But I think you'll see T.J. Watt, Nick Herbig, Alex Highsmith, who has been playing very well, 7 sacks since week 9. And even Jack Sawyer, who's played really well. I think you'll see heat from them. I think having Derek Harmon, who they didn't have in the first matchup, is huge. As I noted earlier this week, everyone's been talking about Derek Harmon in the games he's played. But even in the snaps, with accounting like plays where he just takes a break in the games that he's played, they go from being the 25th best run defense in the NFL when he's not on the field to the first. They allow 3.54 rushing yards per play. When Derek Harmon is on the field, no one has a better rate than that. And that's where I think that things can be different, is that Derek Harmon, Cam Hayward, and then Benton Black, Harrison, Queen, all those guys in the middle, plus a fully loaded edge group, that could be what you count upon to win there. But I think something else that's going to be huge here is something that Terrell Austin pointed out weeks ago that they've been better at. And it's something that the Bills exposed in them. It's called crack replacement. So when a crack block from a wide receiver is when they crash down on an inside player and they like smush down either a slot cornerback or a outside linebacker or a safety. And then it puts the emphasis on another player on the outside to come down and defend the edge. And that's something they did not do well for several weeks in the middle of the season. I think the Packers exposed them there. I think the Bills exposed them there. I think the Ravens did a little bit the first time. But since then, they have been very sharp at that. And I asked Joey Porter Jr. about that yesterday. He said that's all plays into how much more technically sound his defense has been. That's all those factors play a big role. But you do those things, they can keep this run game in check. I think this run defense has truly taken a turn. In the last 3 weeks, no team has allowed fewer yards per play, or fewer yards for a rush, fewer rushing yards than the Pittsburgh Steelers defense, and they're the only defense in the NFL to not allow a rushing touchdown in the last 3 weeks.
It sounds to me like you got a little bit more faith in the Steelers defense in this matchup than the offense.
I do. I honestly think this is going to be a rock fight. I think this is going to come down to an old-school Ravens-Steelers physical, cold matchup, guys hitting each other, guys getting hurt, big hits. And it's funny, Joey Porter Jr. said the first time he can remember the Steelers-Ravens rivalry as a kid was when Ryan Clark was knocking guys out. And, of course, there's the big hit he had on Willis McGahee in the AFC Championship game back in 2008-2009 on their way to winning the Super Bowl that year. I think this is that kind of a game. I think there's big hits. I think there's running the ball. I think there's big plays. But also, if the Steelers are going to win, they'll need something else to happen that game. They're going to need a defensive touchdown. They're going to need a Troy Polamalu-like pick six. You know, whether it's a pick six, whether it's a strip fumble return for a touchdown, I think this defense needs to put up points this week, because I do think the offense, the Ravens defense is not the Browns defense. They rank 30th in sacks. They're terrible at pressuring the quarterback, and that's something that Aaron Rodgers can use to his advantage. But without DK Metcalf, they're still going to have their struggles. This has to be a week where the Steelers get some big plays on offense, but also I think a big play, a scoring play on defense, or a play that sets them up like inside the 10 on offense. So they need some splash.
Do you think that Echols is going to play in the game?
I get the sense, yeah. Okay. I talked to him yesterday. He seemed very confident. Joey Porter seemed excited about having him back. And so I do think Echols play. And I do think that also plays a big role because that will allow Jalen Ramsey to be back in the safety position. And Echols can also help against the tight ends. So I think this the thumbnail for my my Locked On Steelers episode this week is or for today is all hands on deck because they need them all. They need everybody to pitch in to stop this Ravens attack. To make big plays and to flip this game in their favor. They're underdogs, according to Vegas. And I think that's justified when you see how the offense played last week and you see what the Ravens did with their rushing attack. And I mean, here's the other thing, Adam. This is, to me, a gut check for the Steelers because the whole reason why they took the path they did in the offseason, drafting Derek Harmon, drafting Y.A. Black, signing guys like Malik Harrison, you know, emphasizing what they did all year, it's been to stop the run, and it's been to stop the Ravens. And, they were able to win while still the Ravens rushing for over 200 yards last time. But this needs to be the final check here where it's like, hey, we've made the steps forward. We've come a long ways. Now let's prove it. You know, against the team that knocked us out last year, and let's return the favor and knock them out this year. That has to be the test for the Steelers this week. And I think if they pass this test, it goes a long way, you know, not even just for this year, but moving forward saying, hey, this organization is figuring some things out.
Last thing here for you, Chris. With Watt expected to play, you think it's a straight four-man kind of rotation? Like, how do you think they're going to go about his snap count?
I think Watt still gets a bulk of the share, but I do think that they are – I think that Sawyer and Herbig have shown against the run and the pass that they can both be reliable. So I think what you might see is less reluctance to take either off to give these guys, you know, the top guys a break. I think you're going to see, hey, TJ, come off, get stay fresh. I think they want – one thing that – Dick LeBeau used to say, and then Keith Butler used to say, was that he wanted his guys the freshest right around the turn of the third to the fourth quarter. He wanted them to be ready to go in that moment because that's when the game is often won. And so I think what the Steelers do is, you know, one, the offense tries to possess the ball so the defense doesn't get tired out. And two, I think that they try to rotate these guys as much as possible so that come fourth quarter, TJ Watt is fresh. He feels ready. He's attacking. And same thing for Alex Highsmith. And then when Herbig and Sawyer get in there, they're also fresh and they keep these guys good. So I do think there's a decent rotation. I don't think that they just leave TJ and Alex out there. They'll still get the bulk of the share. I'd say like the split might be like 75-25 or 70-30. I think that'll be the kind of shit snaps, but it won't be like 80-20 or 90-10 in the percentage swaps. I think that they keep these guys fresh, and who knows, maybe that's the time of the game where this outside linebacker group makes the splash play. We've seen them do it a lot. Alex Highsmith ended the game against the Ravens. Jack Sawyer has two interceptions this season. Nick Herbig's made some plays. Maybe that's the time when this group strikes because they're fresh late in the game.
Chris, this was very good, buddy, as it always is. We love doing these weekly matchup segments with you. Hopefully we'll get to do another one next Friday, man.
That would be fun if we do get to do one next week. The first time the Steelers have hosted a playoff game since the 2020-2021 season.
That's exactly right. Chris, be well, man. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you hopefully next Friday.
There you go. Happy New Year, Adam.
See you, buddy. That's the great Chris Carter.